I look for the inner man before I look for outer space. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. I look for the inner man before I look for outer space. I have been reading many scientific reports recently about outer space. And the scientific reports have been written by many of our outstanding scientists in the field of space and space technology and space research and all those beautiful things. And to a man, all of them have come up with the idea that only because we know our inner self can we know our outer self. Only because we know who we are can we know what outer space is. Because outer space is a reflection of what our thinking of it is. Now, they have cataclysmic explosions in outer space, and these are about a reflection of what's going on in the consciousness of ourselves. Because Richard Bach wrote a book, There's No Such Place as Far Away, but he never got to the subject. But the real subject is that all is one. All is one. There's no place such place as far away because all is one. And that's true. Now, outer space is inner space. When we know our inner self, then we know exactly what outer space is. I remember a Star Trek type of show in which the young man went into the enemy encampment or spaceship, big monstrous thing, you know, and he was greeted by the woman who was in charge of greeting him. And she was a very powerful looking woman, and she was the person who greeted all people who came aboard the spaceship to make sure that they were harmonious with the spaceship's goals, or at least not antagonistic to them. And so she took this young man into her counseling room, and he sat on one side of the desk and she on the other, and she said to him, before we begin, put your hand in this box. And so he put his hand in the box. It was just an empty box. He looked inside. There was nothing there. It wasn't connected to anything. You know, just the box. And just large enough for his wrist to fit comfortably with it closed. And then she said, now, you cannot take that box off until I tell you you can take it off. So he tried to take it off, and of course he couldn't. And then he realized that. He gave her power. So, then she said, now, if I ask you a question, and you hedge, you fudge, you don't tell me the truth, you go around the truth, you do not come straight out with the truth of what the question is that I ask you, your hand will get warm. And the more often you do not tell the truth, the hotter your hand will get until it will be unbearable. And all you have to do is say, that is true, I did not tell the truth. You don't have to tell me what the truth is, you just have to admit that you did not tell the truth. And then it goes away. Now, he sat there laughing at her, thinking, what a silly thing. This box is not connected to anything, it's nothing. But as she asked him what his idea was about the spaceship, what his mission was for being there at all, he told a little white lie. His hand got warm. And as they progressed, she asked more questions, and he gave more incorrect answers, more lies about the answer to the question. And his hand got hotter and hotter and hotter. Finally, his hand, and there were no questions that were really of any great consequence. It was just simple questions that he didn't want to tell the truth about. His hand became so hot. He said, "It must be just bones left. The flesh is burned off. It's so hot." And she said, "No, it's not. What must you do?" "It's true, I told a lie." Instantly, the hand was normal. He opened the box, and his hand was absolutely normal. Not one evidence of it having been in this infernal, terrible heat. Not one evidence of it. Now, it was all in his mind. Now, that was very real. It was very real for him. Very real. Now, if he had been a master, and he was good, but not a master. If he had been a master, he would have not accepted her first statement. He would not have accepted that the box would get warm with every falsehood that he told. He would have put into his consciousness, every time I answer her question incorrectly or with a lie, the box remains the same. The box remains the same. Because he has the ability to do it. And if he had said this, of course this takes a master consciousness. Mm-hmm. If he had said this, he wouldn't have been touched. Because it was all by his own mind that he had done this. You see, when we get to know the inner man, then we get to know what the outer space is. And can anyone tell me why we get to know what outer space is once we know the inner man?
Because it's one.
Because the outer space is a reflection of our consciousness. It is one as our consciousness, and we know all that it is, and we know it all right now. Now, you might it'd be a good TV show to get if we could ever find what the name of it was, but you say, "Well, I can handle that. I can be master of myself." Well, can you? Can you? No, just a moment. The question shouldn't be can you, but would you? Would you, under any circumstances, do that? No. If I said to Sylvia, "Sylvia, there is a little baby lying behind you, and he's sleeping, and there's a fire pit there, and he's going to roll over into that fire pit. And Sylvia, you're sitting here just chatting with me, not paying any attention to that baby. You didn't even know it was there." And now the baby is rolling closer to the fire pit. Now the baby's screaming because he got burned on the fire very badly. And he rolled away from the fire. And he's screaming and 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 screaming because he hurts so bad. Now, if you were to say to me, when I say, "Sylvia, there's a baby behind you," and you say, "Not in my world. I am here alone with you." You understand? "Sylvia, the baby is rolling toward that open fire pit." "There's no fire pit back there. I know, because I didn't put it there and I don't have it." There's no baby, no fire pit. "The baby is rolling close to the fire now and it's burned terribly and screaming and screaming." And you don't hear it. You will not allow yourself to create that in your world because you're the master of your thinking. Now, could you actually create that? Did this boy have his hand burned to a cinder? Yes, he did. In his mind. In his mind, he did, you see.
It's like the ice.
Yes, like the ice. Yes. The ice on your forehead, and that is an icy knife, you know. And you think it's a red hot knife, you know, it's called that. We have that capacity so beautifully. Now, since we do, and since we have it, why not create outer space the way we want it. Create it as a very friendly place. Create it as a place where we can visit, do things in perfect harmony. And when we do that, then we have a lot of fun. But now, what do we have to do first? First, we have to master our inner self. And we master our inner self by not allowing anything in the outer to put any causes in motion for us, by not allowing anything in our experience to take our attention unless we choose to let it have our attention. Sylvia is so stupid. She's sitting here absolutely dumb. She has no ideas that the bushes and the trees behind her outside are waving in the breeze. She has no idea of that. She doesn't even see them moving and the sunlight sparkling between the leaves. She doesn't even see that. But it's very much there. But you don't care. That's not where your awareness is. And it doesn't matter. Now, the fire is working its way across the field toward the house, a house. And you're in that house. And you say, oh, and you empower the fire to come and take the house. Or you sit there and you say, I surround this property, not only the house, this property with my pure white light of love. All my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasant. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. I surround this house with my pure white light of love. What's going to happen?
Nothing.
You're untouchable. But if you beforehand had placed doubt in your consciousness, then you gave the fire authority to come and burn your place. Now, do you want to do that? Do you want to do that?
No.
You see, I found it fascinating reading the article about the new airport up in the Campo area. And one of the reasons that they weren't putting it in a certain location was that the area was subject to fire burns, and that the fire burns would bring in the other airplanes, bombers and stuff like that, putting out the fire, and that it would disturb the traffic of the runway of the international airport at that location. And I thought, oh my goodness sakes, what are you empowering? What, when you put in a beautiful airport like that, there will be businesses and industries growing up around it to build a whole new city right there. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't take any time at all. And rather than being difficult for the airplanes to land, it's just more harmonious for them to do so. You see, we put our thoughts in motion on these things and we bring them about. We tell everybody that aboard ships coming from foreign ports are certain types of not desirable sea creatures that cling to the bottom of the ship. And the ship comes into the St. Lawrence Freeway, into the Great Lakes, which are freshwater lakes. And the creatures drop off and they find it a very salubrious environment and they grow tremendously. Well, that's bad enough. Then they want to report this to everybody and tell this to all the world. So all the world sees the Great Lakes as no longer being freshwater lakes, but lakes that are flooded with this creatures, you know, that come from other places and other lands, and where they had a built-in immunity not to protect them from it. What is it? Natural predators which kept it in check. And you see, we do this. We do this with our newspapers and our magazines and our television. We do this with every media we have. What we could be doing with our media, rather, is to say that we're putting a cause in motion, that this world is harmony, love, peace, joy, goodness. We're putting a cause in motion that all fires are contained. We're putting a cause in motion that the land surrounding, whatever the fire area might be, the land surrounding this area are all in perfect harmony and perfect peace right now. You see, all in divine order. Now, putting causes like that in motion, we don't have to worry about details. And if we did that, and we did that, and we did that, the whole world would change. Mm-hmm. But the world apparently doesn't want to change because it likes to have these excitements. If I say to you, you're having a spiritual healing now, and you will never remember your family. Well, you will never remember the illnesses that you had. That can be good, but, you know, we enjoy that so much. Now, let's take our attention away from enjoying the negatives that we have become accustomed to in our life and start enjoying the positives by putting our attention on them. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. Can you do that? Well, do that and enjoy yourself. Because I look for the inner man before I look for outer space. Have a lovely day, and I know you'll find the inner man because you know where he dwells, and I know where he dwells. I love you. I love you.
I love you.